gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends. Welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 30 for New Comic Day, November 9th, 2016. I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting along with my with me here in the basement of Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
So, Vern, I'm like, tired. This is...
I should be more tired. Well, we should be about on the same level after walking around.
Oh, yeah. In case I mess something up here, this is my third show in less than 24 hours. Because we had...
And you actually had a
convention this weekend.
Yeah, I'm having a Comic-Con hangover right now.
So, Vernon, so let's not leave everybody waiting. You actually went to the Akron Comic-Con here in Akron, Ohio today, or yesterday. So what was that really all about?
I took over about 50 pictures all together. it was really cool. I met some friends from Tangerbound Network, saw some people from Geek Watch 1, and anybody dressed up as a DC comic character was there. So we seen some buddies from the Hall of Justice.
Cool. Cool. So what was going on at the Comic-Con this year? Tell us all about it, man.
Everything. Oh, man. They had the original Captain America, Rad Brown, I think his name is.
The one from the 70s?
Yeah, he was there.
Oh, cool.
That was really cool. That was probably the highlight of the night or the day, whichever you want to call it, how long you stayed there.
Yeah.
And also they had the girl from The Walking Dead, the bear girl, the teddy bear girl, the first zombie kid child we saw on the show. She was there. She's a teenager now, so wasn't expecting that to go by as fast. The years have really gone since Walking Dead first aired.
Yeah.
So they were the only two famous people there I met or at least seen. Besides that, of course, we had the little vendors selling the comic books, selling toys. Some of the people from Cleveland selling their comic books. We used Smine from a standard Comic-Con and everybody in cosplay. So it was really cool. I bought over about $100 worth of items.
Okay.
So they had some really good
stuff. Found some new figures?
Oh, yeah. I found about 4 figures.
Cool.
Supergirl, I finally am able to add her to my collection along with Firestorm.
Nice. So are this the CW TV versions of them, or was it from a different set?
No, this was the original comic book versions.
Oh, okay.
They did have the CW network there as well, like they did last year.
Cool.
There was Flash. He was there for the CW. At least he was by the panel. There was so much going on, I couldn't tell if they were just cosplayers around that area or they're actually from that station. It was so much going on yesterday.
Cool. Did you get to sit in on any of the panels or anything?
No. When we got there, they were gone.
Okay.
I don't know if they were on break or they were just done or we didn't see them after they came back. But the cosplayers did so well. It was just like I was talking to the actual characters.
Nice. Well, for next week, we're actually going to have we'll be actually recording our show live at Con on the Cob.
Yes, and we're going to see more cosplayers, and it's going to be another convention. So if anybody's out there and they want to come to Con on the Cob, join us.
Yep, Con on the Cob is mostly a gaming convention, but there's all kinds of gaming and art and parties and all kinds of things. We've never really plugged it on the show here, but over on Geek Watch 1, we're actually the in charge of panels at Con on the Cob. So I'm actually on a couple of panels, including one that's a DC versus Marvel panel.
And that's going to be very
with my
fun.
Buddy Kylan.
That's going to be
so,
really good.
Come on out, check out Con on the Cob. Go to cononthecob.com for all the info. It's actually the November 10th through the 14th, I believe. Let me double check. Or the 9th through the 13th.
Let's check our calendar.
Yep, that's what I'm doing. Pulling up the calendar right now. Yeah,
I
November
10th through
9th. Yeah, it's the 10th through the 13th. So it's the four days of fun, freaks, games. On Friday night, Geek Watch 1 is actually sponsoring the party. With your paid badge to get into Con on the Cob, you get into the parties also. All the parties and everything is included. Unlike some of the bigger conventions, you don't have to pay to play games. All the games are included with the price of the admission. Check out, like I said, conofthecob.com for all the information. It's at the Days Inn in Richfield, Ohio. Come hang out. It's a good time. And we will actually be recording there at some point over the weekend. With that, let's go ahead to, and jump right into this. This week, we're not going to do a lot of the TV reviews like we usually do, because we actually have some news and we have a lot of comic stuff to go through this week. So, first off in TV news, though, is we have another Batman character coming to Arrow. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to look at this?
I did not.
Well, Newsarama covered this. Huh?
So I'm just going to be another fan listening to this right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you know the actress Alexa Doing?
Not off the top of my head.
She's been in Supernatural. She was in the 4400. She was in Andromeda, Stargate SG-1. Do you remember in Continuum is the main one she's known from? But do you know, do you remember Andromeda with Kevin Sorbo?
Yeah. Yeah.
She played the android.
Okay.
On the ship.
Huh.
Well, she's coming to Arrow to play. They're bringing in Talia al Ghul. Now they teased Talia on Legends of Tomorrow.
Right. Which they should.
Yeah. So she's coming to Arrow this season. She's gonna and it says according to this, Deadline actually was reporting that they described the character as an elite warrior who doesn't pick sides, but rather creates her own.
Hmm. That sounds like Talia, at least from the recent stories of Batman.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they say Ra's al Ghul and Nyssa have both been on the show already.
Right.
So now I believe Nyssa's dead, isn't she? Or is she just back in Nanda Parbat? No, she's back in Nanda Parbat because
I don't think she's actually
they defeated
dead.
Merlin and kicked him out.
Yep, that's right. I don't wonder what's going on. Well, obviously, Legend of Tomorrow, but I wonder what timeline that fits in.
Yeah. That's why I'm wondering in this, ahead. What's the chance that Nyssa or Talia is coming in because of Flashpoint? When Barry changed things, they made it so Talia is now here.
Big possibility. In that case, I'm hoping that they don't make her the love interest of the Arrow. I think Batman would be very upset.
Yeah. So that was my Arrow news. This is going to be awesome. It doesn't say when or where. We just know she's coming.
Okay, so we'll be surprised. No spoilers.
The way they do these announcements, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not before the break.
Okay. Well, we'll have something to look forward to this season.
Mm-hmm.
Another something to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had a couple of cinematic news stories.
Yeah, I was going to say next we have Flash in the movie world. Sadly, we lost another director. He left the project. Rick Famuyiwa is not with the Flash team anymore. His departure means there's going to be a delay for the product and the release date, which is sad news. Rick Famuyiwa, who was given the role of the new up-and-coming hero of age. He's also made many films like Dope was one of his biggest projects. Famuyiwa was on board with this since June. So now that he's leaving the product so late in the game, this is going to cause some backdraw for their film to be released. And also, Ezra Miller will be the fastest man alive still. He's still attached to it. But instead of the movie coming out in March 2017, it will now be released in March 16th, 2018. So everybody that was hyped up for the Flash film, we're going to have to wait another year.
Well,
will not be coming out this year.
No, the way that says is they were in pre-production. They were going to start filming in 2017 with a release date of 2018.
Oh, man. So
as of right now,
that
that's
thing
still
might come out in like 20.
Yeah. As of right now, it doesn't say any change in that. So they still have time. They may be able to, depending on what script they're wanting to go with. Now, I'm wondering on this, you read the whole article, but did it say anything about has the directors been leaving because they want to do more closer to the comic books or they want to go farther away from the comic books? What's going on?
They haven't actually said. They've just been saying they have creative differences.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what that ranges from. It could be they want to take a completely different spin off of it while the Warner Brothers crew wants to keep it to the comic books, or it could be vice versa. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that's the second director to leave for me. There was Seth Graham Smith was attached to the project in the beginning, and then there was two other directors that planned on doing this together, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, but they never got attached to the role.
Yeah.
So we've lost a couple people in the time span of the Flash film being made. But hopes and fingers crossed, hopefully we'll get another director and we can get this show off the road. We can get a movie out because we need that after the series. But yeah, then again, this may be good for the TV show to go on longer.
Yeah.
And they can use more characters until the movie is released.
And speaking of movies coming out, we actually have some casting for Justice League. Whoa, wait a minute.
Yes, what was that?
That's ads.
I know that feeling. Okay. And our next one is Steppenwolf. This is going around social media pretty good. We have our actor for Steppenwolf. If I'm pronouncing this right, Ken, you might have to help me with this. Ciaran Hines?
Looks fine to me. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, he is in Game of Thrones. He will now be the new villain for the Justice League movie, Steppenwolf. Hines is wrapped up in production of the role of Steppenwolf for his multi-caption character. So he's done. This is going to be basically how Joe Sprolin is for Avengers Infinity War. Insiders also say that Steppenwolf will be upgraded from his previous appearance in Batman vs. Superman. And that was only in the deleted scene as well. So okay, they had some time to improve with that. I'm curious on how that looks. But that's really it for that article. Everything else in this article you guys can look up anywhere. This is just Steppenwolf's new actor for the cast of Justice League. But they're going to go off a couple different things, I think, in this one. I know he's not going to be his uncle anymore. I think this is going to be his brother of Darkseid instead of his uncle. So I guess they're trying to keep them a little bit closer in age. But I'm very curious to see how Steppenwolf looks now.
That explains a little bit. It says here that in the rebooted continuity of the New 52, Steppenwolf is seen in the Earth 2 timeline as a lieutenant to Darkseid, but he leads the Parademons. And since we saw Parademons a bunch of times in Batman v Superman, that actually makes sense.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was not too familiar with Steppenwolf besides him being on Apocalypse, being Darkseid's uncle. Okay. I missed him in the New 52.
Yeah. And as of right now, they still say they're it's looking for a November 17th release for next year. Yep. So we're 1 year away from Justice League.
Literally 1 year. We're in November now. Yep. Wow. Time flies. So I think that's going to be the next biggest thing along with Wonder Woman for next year for DC.
Oh, yeah. And what did you think of that new Wonder Woman trailer?
I thought it was great. I love this trailer a lot. It didn't reveal as much as they did as a Superman. So that was something I was really looking forward to, and they proved me right.
Yeah.
So, and also Wonder Woman, they show her, she's vulnerable, her and the Amazons, but she's going to have to once again take the mantle up and go overseas to America and help America out, be our hero at the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think she's going to be the only hero we've seen so far from the Justice League film, since this isn't taking place in World War II.
Yeah. Well, no, this takes place in World War One.
World War One. I wonder if they're changing that for certain reasons, and I'm not going to get into that. But, my buddy was in the theater when we saw that trailer, because he doesn't go on the internet. He doesn't spoil too much stuff for himself, which is a smart role to do. So he didn't know that was another Wonder Woman trailer coming out. He thought that this also was taking place in our modern time. And I was telling him if he looked around, this was taking place in World War One. He was wondering if you might see a cameo from a different superhero in this movie, which we could still see, but I have no idea if they're going to even try to incorporate another character or just focus on Wonder Woman.
I don't know. I'm going to sit back. This looks like this whole movie is going to be eye candy. It's going to be beautiful. It has been beautifully shot so far.
Did you notice that this trailer looked a little bit more brighter colors than it did in the first trailer?
A little bit. It looks like the lighting is a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that. And I think this is going back to complaints of the other movies were too dark.
Yeah. Well, supposedly, even Zack Snyder and his wife and everybody else have said that after Batman v Superman, the rest of the movies shouldn't be that dark. They kept it that dark on purpose so that they have somewhere to go.
Okay. Well,
so supposedly they started as low as you can go, and then they're going to start heading towards the bright side from there.
Okay.
So
I'm fine with that.
And then the last bit of actual news we got was, I found this last night. You and I both, did you read all six of the Legends of Tomorrow anthology books?
No, I got to midway between issue number 4, but I didn't read the first three.
Well, I was telling you earlier, the surprise characters for me that I had never read before.
I didn't know they existed.
Exactly. This was a brand new book. As far as I was new, it was brand new characters that actually weren't superhero characters to start with. The characters were Sugar and Spike, were introduced and brought back into the universe by Keith Giffen on in the Legends of Tomorrow anthology. They're actually being brought into the DC Rebirth universe now. It looks like Sugar and Spike are being segued into, or they're segueing from their revamp in the Legends of Tomorrow to join the cast of the ensemble cast of the Rebirth Blue Beetle comic. And I didn't realize Blue Beetle was going to be an ensemble book the whole time. It looks like, as of right now, it's going to be Jaime Reyes and, where's the list? It was right here. But it's going to be Jaime Reyes, Ted Kord, Dr. Fate, and Sugar and Spike are all going to be stars in this book.
This could be a good TV show, too.
Yeah. Well, this sounds like it's going to be similar to what they're doing with Detective Comics.
Mm-hmm.
But, it says, originally, Sugar and Spike were created by cartoonist Sheldon Meyer. They actually, they were two toddlers in his book. They were just best friends having toddler adventures. And their comic ran from, like, 1956 to 1971. And it, from the looks of what I've seen some of the classic pages here and there looking it up, it looked like something that would have come out of, like, Archie or a newspaper strips, like Peanuts and stuff like that. That's the style that it was.
And now, I'm reading up on the characters to put in there. They only communicated through baby talk. So okay. the toddlers are the only ones that actually communicate with each other, something like they do in Rugrats. In real life, no one could understand them, but they were just babies, and that's how they communicated.
Oh, that's interesting. I may have to look up some of these old books.
Yeah, I'm thinking about buying this. Yeah, I found out you can get them on the volume books, so I might pick up one for myself soon.
Yeah. Well, it says that then they have the description for the new version of Sugar and Spike because they're adults. They're still best friends. But it says, where is it? Now, Giffen has reimagined them as being older, but still best friends, teaming up as detectives to help superheroes who are being blackmailed or bothered about some of their more embarrassing moments in the past. And a lot of that past was pulled straight out of DC Comics. Then this is a quote here. From Giffen, he says, in other words, if Green Lantern has a problem that he really doesn't want to hit the press, like, you know, he used to fly around with a little thing called Itty on my shoulder. Wasn't that a Starro or something like that? That he'd fly around with his little buddy. If he doesn't want everybody to know about it.
And he was basically his Alfred, but a little bit more quirky.
Exactly. That's when you call Sugar and Spike to help handle the problem. Or say someone stole all of Batman's rainbow suits that he used to wear, and that's kind of embarrassing if it goes public. Those are the situations where you call Sugar and Spike to come in and take care of the problem. Go get the suits back, or hide Itty from everybody. It says the duo's Legends of Tomorrow serial is being collected on November 15th as Sugar and Spike Metahuman Investigations as a trade. And then in Blue Beetle number 3 on November 23rd is when we're actually going to see them join the book. And that book is actually being written by Giffen and Scott Collins, and artist Scott Collins. So, and then Newsarama actually has an article or a whole interview with Keith Giffen about this and about what's coming up for the book. So if you want to go over to Newsarama, look up Sugar and Spike Rejoin Rebirth, and you can read that that interview.
And I'm looking on Amazon right now for the DC Archives. Book's kind of expensive if you get it new. You might want to get this used.
Okay.
So about $59 new.
Wow. So how many pages is that one?
Give me a second. 264 pages.
Wow. Oh, that's because it's the DC. You said it's DC Archives? Mm-hmm. That's the trade. That's the hardbound trade version.
That's the only one I'm able to find on Amazon, at least.
Okay, well, let's look it up on Comixology and see if they have anything on it.
That was my next stop. Hopefully, we can get that on there digitally.
As we Google it here for you. Oops, and I spelled it wrong. So, and we get plenty of dead air with it. There we go. Yeah, I'm not seeing it anywhere here.
I'm not. Nope, I see the newer one that's coming soon, but there's no collection for it.
Yeah. So it looks like you can't get it on there. I'm sure if you go to library, something like that, a lot of times they'll have those anthologies. Yeah, the DC Archive is their basically premium collections of old stuff. It'd be great if they could actually get this in one of the showcases.
That would be sweet. I feel like with their new popularity, at some point we will get that, and they've already been in the Legends.
Yeah. The new one was in the Legends of Tomorrow, and actually Legends of Tomorrow 1 through 6 you can still pick up. And then they're going to be releasing the four different serials that were in there as four separate trades. Obviously, we got the Sugar and Spike one coming next week, or 2 weeks from now. So, but, hey, do you want to get into some comics reviews?
Yes, let's do.
So these are the comic reviews that of the five titles that we picked out from October 26th. And the first one I'll take, because I chose this one, and the cover is classic. Now,
yes,
most
this
people
goes back to Guy Gardner, and I'm sorry, not Guy Gardner, Jay Garrick and Barry Allen saving, I think it was just a random female on the ground, but in this case, we have Wally West and Wally West saving Barry Allen.
Exactly. This is actually the Wally West of two worlds meeting each other finally. And like you said, the cover was actually a new take on a classic cover from the, I believe it was the 50s, when they reintroduced Jay Garrick back into Flash Comics. And they had a wall that Barry and Jay were both running that against. So,
and I think this was also featured in last season's episode of Flash. I want to say one of the first five episodes.
Yes.
That was the theme of one of the episodes, Jay Garrick and Barry Allen coming together to save the day.
Yep, and they did basically their homage to that cover, their version of it. But
I was just going to tell you the issue. That was issue number 123. Man, didn't even know it was that old on there. They were going a while on this one, but yeah.
Yeah, the second volume, which was basically the one that introduced Barry Allen, went from the late 50s all the way through up into the 80s before they restarted it with Wally West.
Yeah, but now correct myself. This actually was a man on the ground, like a construction worker, with a beam falling on his head, and both of them are running to catch him. On this one, it's a little different.
Well, in this one, we start off on Halloween in Central City, and you got Iris and Barry, and someone's dropped off flowers for Iris, and someone keeps doing that, and Iris has no idea where they're coming from. Or, yeah, it's young Wally and Barry there with Iris. And then we flip to the, they hear that the one of the bridges is on fire. So, Flash and Kid Flash run to the rescue. They start saving everybody off the bridge, and Wally gets distracted and can't do anything about the fire, and the fire, there's an explosion goes off, and all of a sudden the explosion just stops and loses all of its energy. And you hear off page, "Hey, nice suit, kid." As old Wally West, the Flash, shows up and basically says hello. So you finally get Wally West meeting Wally West, which is going to get confusing.
Yeah, I'm thinking, how are we going to do? We should just say Wally West is also the Flash, and the younger Wally is Kid Flash. So there are actually two Flashes right now and only one Kid Flash.
Well, we could always go with Wally and Kid Wally.
Or we could do that.
So regular older Wally helps with the fire. Barry comes over and says, "Hey, wait." Then introduces them, that says that Kid Flash, this is actually a friend of mine. He's Flash, which they're still both using the same name at the moment. And they talk back and forth, and Wally shakes Barry's hand, at which point it once again jogs something in Barry, and he starts, the Speed Force starts wigging him out. And he's going nuts, and he's starting to lose control. He's vibrating so fast that he's about to become pure energy again.
Yeah, from both Wally shaking their hand, he's like, this has happened at some point before, and it's just making him go crazy right now.
It's almost like the Paradox is sitting there in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's starting to lose it, he's starting to lose his mind and yelling at them, telling them how I'm the Flash. And he's acting way out of character. And then out of nowhere, it looks like Zoom comes in and starts talking to him out of the Speed Force. At this point, is Zoom actually locked in the Speed Force?
I think so, and he's communicating through Barry right now. That's what's going on.
Well, as Barry
has a vessel right now,
Wally recognizes this because he's actually become pure energy in the Speed Force and come back before. So he sees what's going on, and it looks like Barry's about to lose it and become pure energy. So he tells young Wally, Kid Wally, that, hey, it's up to us to keep him here. We got to make him remember us, make him slow down. And together they do. They slow him down, and he goes back to normal.
They become his lightning rod.
Exactly. Right? They basically become his lightning rod to hold him in place. But while Barry's doing this, he lets out the secret that Wally's Uncle Daniel, who became an evil speedster, actually is Kid Wally's dad also.
Not his uncle, yeah.
It's not his uncle, it's actually his dad. At which point, Kid Wally, being a teenager, can't figure this out and has to take off. He takes off running.
And as Bear tries to get him back, older Wally tells him, "I was the same way, just let him run it off." And you know, out of everybody knows, sometimes the only way to help is to run.
Exactly. You got to let the energy out. So then we get to Wally actually hanging out with one of his friends, and his friend is talking about how he's been playing D&D with these new guys over at the comic shop. You got to come check this out. But as they do, they see a guy on the street, this redheaded guy in a green hoodie, who Kid Wally walks up to and says, "Hey, I know you. I'll catch up with you." He tells his buddy, "I'll catch up with you later." And just by looking at him, knows that that's Flash, because regular Wally West suit doesn't have it has a mask, but it doesn't cover his hair, and that fiery red hair could only belong to one guy. And you got to remember, I don't know about later on, but I remember when I was reading Flash back in the 90s, everybody knew his secret identity. Everybody knew that Wally West was the Flash. So that would make sense if you're going on that he doesn't worry about people like hiding his identity. So they sit there, they're talking about family, about his uncle and his dad and all the stuff that's going on, and talking about how Barry's going to be a great mentor for you. He helped me through a whole lot of stuff. He's going to help you. Give him time. And then, but the funny thing is he says at some point you're going to decide to challenge Barry to a race, and he's going to let you win. And Wally says, "Don't let him do it. If you're going to race him for real."
Right.
That, and then he offers to show Wally how he is, erased or sucked the fire out, and then they take off. Next scene, you get Wally and Barry in the park, and you find out that the flowers for Iris are actually coming from Wally. When Wally was a kid, his parents got a divorce, and with all the divorce and stuff, he spent a lot of time with his Aunt Iris. And because of that, that's how he met Barry Allen and all the things happened with the Flash. But his Aunt Iris helped him through a whole lot of stuff. Now, the current Iris is the new 52 Iris, so she doesn't know any of that happened. She doesn't remember Wally. So that's why he's been sneaking in, using super speed to give her flowers in the morning and stuff like that. It's his way of saying thank you and not letting her in on the whole secret of who he is or where he came from. So,
and then we get like one of the best little nods and Easter eggs to another character.
Oh, yeah, wait, which, yes. So, they get that, and then also, Wally is telling Barry about all the stuff that's been happening with the Titans and Abracadabra, also. Because the two of them are still trying to figure out the secret of, Rebirth. They're not calling it Rebirth, but that's what we know from the outside looking in. So they're talking, and, Barry says, when Kid Flash and Wally finally brought him out of, saved him the day before, the 2 days before, when he was about to go join the Speed Force, he had one final vision. And what he saw something in the Speed Force that he doesn't think he was ever supposed to see. And he doesn't know what it is, but it filled me with hope, it says. In the picture is a World War I or World War II steel helmet with the golden wings on it.
And we all know who's Jay Garrick's helmet.
So it looks like we're going to bring in the rest of the Flash family. So we'll have all four of the Flashes. The only one we're missing is number 5, Bart Allen.
Right, and we did have a lot of him from the New 52, so I don't know if we're going to see him or not.
That was he in the New 52?
Oh, yeah, he was the New 52's Kid Flash, along with their Connor Kent Superboy and their Cassie Wonder Girl.
Yeah.
Both the new books right now, I don't think they're going to show them.
I don't know. They might bring them in.
Go back to other characters. That would be awesome if they did. Those are the three main characters from DC I'm missing.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what happened to them. They never really explained that.
Connor may be a while before they bring him in. Connell.
Right, and for obvious reasons.
And Cassie, I never knew exactly where she came from to start with. I know she was Wonder Girl, but...
Yeah. For New 52, they kind of changed up her origins, I think, slightly... Not too much. She still is Zeus's daughter. They kept that, but she had more of a bad teenage girl act to her.
So she was more like what they had in Young Justice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was glad they put her on there with Young Justice, too. I was really shocked at that. But
Well, that was because, if I remember right, they were not allowed to use Donna Troy.
Nope.
For some reason.
And that was the reason why they brought her over. And they weren't able to use her in the Teen Titans show either, but we got her in the comic book. So if you did want to see Donna Troy with the Teen Titans, pick up the book. But for some reason, the shows cannot use her, and I don't know what licensing issues is going on, but at least we have her in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of comics and the Kid Flash, the next review for our list is Teen Titans issue number 4, and this goes back to
No, this is not Teen Titans. This one's just Titans.
Teen Titans a little bit later on the list. Mm-hmm. This is going back trying to figure out what happened with Wally and the Speed Force with the Rebirth. And Abracadabra is still up to his little shenanigans trying to take Linda. Now, he's kidnapped Linda, and he's trying to get Wally to go save her. But he knows at the end of the day, he's too good to for him to actually grab him, because as fast as Wally's trying to catch him, Abracadabra can teleport even quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we have all these clones or copies of the Teen Titans from when they were younger. They're Titans now. They're older. It's Kid Flash, Wonder Girl, Speedy, Aqualad and Robin, with Lilith in just her regular street attire. She didn't even have a superhero persona at the time. So he's kidnapped Linda, and he's put her in this dress and making her look like she's upside down and tied up, and only Flash can save her, and along with other Teen Titans, but that's the plan. He's lured her there for a trap, and he hasn't revealed it yet. But back in the city, Wally's going crazy. The only person that's able to calm down is Dick Grayson, telling him, we'll take care of it. We're the Teen Titans. That's what we do. And Lilith is crying because she feels this is all her fault. And once again, Dick Grayson, being the team leader he is, calms her down as well. They get focused up, and they are able to find Linda where she's located, or at least where they think she's located. So they go in different locations, and we have a team of Flash and Arsenal, and they must fight the younger versions of Kid Flash and Robin, and they go at it. The next team is Tempest and Omen, and they are going after Wonder Girl and Speedy. And then for our last one, we have Donna Troy, Troya, and Nightwing going against young Aqualad and Lilith. And for some reason, the younger versions of themselves are taking the older ones out. They have less experience, but I guess with the power of Abracadabra, they are able to take out their older selves.
Yeah, Abracadabra hypercharged them.
Okay. He's not letting them get the best of them at all. And as Wally's getting more and more upset, this is what Abracadabra wants. He wants him to supercharge himself and get lost in the Speed Force again. He knows he's done it before and he's gotten out, but maybe this time he'll stay good. He'll stay gone for good, because the one person that was able to get him out of the Speed Force is Linda. But in this world, or this reality, she doesn't have any connection to him. She's never met him before. She doesn't know who he is. There's no love attached. So that's the only thing that did the first time. So without him, he'll go kaboom into time. And that's his plan. So he's holding Linda over a pit, and he tells Wally, there's three places you can go. So are you going to save your Teen Titans teammates, or are you going to save the woman that you love? And he says, you can only go in one of those places. You're not even that fast. And he says, watch me. I am that fast. And that's his plan. Make him go so fast, he goes into the Speed Force and never comes out again.
Yeah, that's the secret with the Flashes. If you go too fast, you actually end up becoming pure energy and join with the Speed Force. Usually that's if you go faster than the speed of light, which Barry and Wally both have done. And I believe Bart has done it also.
He has. And he actually passed away in one of the other comic books. I can't remember exactly what happened with that. That was a little convoluted. I have to pick up some other books to figure out what was going on. But yes, Abracadabra's plan is to make Flash go poof. So we'll see what happens in the next issue. The next issue is Run for Their Lives.
Okay. And then the next one coming up is one that I know you were looking forward to a lot. Is Teen Titans number 1. And we actually get to meet the new team.
And as this goes on, I'm going to say where I'm confused at, because the new 52 from the 52 to Rebirth with the Teen Titans teammates, I'm just going to go with it as you read, and I'll bring up the stuff that I'm confused on. Maybe you can explain a little bit to me.
Okay. Well, we get in here, and first thing you get is Damian Wayne celebrating his 13th birthday. And of course, he's sitting there all by himself with Alfred because, of course, Batman's out working.
And of course, you know, him and Batman, they don't like to have anybody with them for their birthdays anyway.
Exactly.
Little loners.
So, they're out doing their thing. And then in the bird cave, you get Damian sit. So basically, you just have the back and forth with Damian and
Alfred.
And Alfred talking back and forth about what he wished for. And then you move on to the bird cave, and it's Damian with his demon. Remember, he's got a pet demon. And then he has the Teen Titans, the four other Teen Titans, in energy binders that are actually stopping their powers.
Sorry to take you back. Go back a little to the second page. I didn't pay attention to this. When he blew out his candles, the smoke became skull heads.
Is it?
Uh-huh. I didn't pay attention to that the first time I
read it. Yeah, it is.
I read it. So,
that's cool.
Of course, Damian.
So, but the four Titans, remember from Titans Rebirth, he had caught all of them, and they're in energy binders now. They're all awake, and they're all a little upset, as you would imagine.
Of course. Someone knocks me out without me knowing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and tie me up, too.
Of course, Wally West doesn't know who this is. Changeling, or Beast Boy, knows exactly who it is.
That's where I got confused on.
Well, remember, Beast Boy, wasn't Robin part of the Justice League at one point? Or not Justice League, the Titans from before?
Yeah, but this is where I was confused on. In the 52 comics, they were on the same team. He led the Titans at one point. Cool.
Okay.
And Rebirth never happened. New 52, it never happened. Now in Rebirth, so I think they might have pulled back from the original 52. That's the only way I can think of how they know each other. And I can see why Wally West doesn't have any recollection of none of this, because he wasn't created until the New 52.
Yeah, he just became Kid Flash, so.
Right, and this is going back on Rebirth. He just got his power, so.
Well, Damian sit here, and he's basically telling everybody what he thinks their problems are. He talks about how a 13-year-old boy just proved that he's better than you guys. He expected more from them. And then you got Beast Boy, and they're going back and forth. He tells all of them what he thinks their problems are. And then, of course, Wally the whole time doesn't know who any of these people are. He's brand new to the superhero game.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, well, before all that, I don't know who anybody is or any of this is, but what is that? The giant demon behind him. And Damian tells you, well, he's quite friendly, unless I tell him to bite your head off.
And then he gives him a big old kiss.
Exactly. At this point, Starfire is getting really, really upset. And Raven is talking about how she can't teleport anybody. They're stuck. But Starfire finally gets upset enough. She breaks the cuffs and breaks everybody out. At which point, this is not a good thing for Robin. So they're all coming after Robin. They beat him down. Beast Boy goes after the demon, which knocks him into the next week. And you get a fight between... We get the fight between Robin and the Titans and the demon and the Titans, which doesn't last long.
Robin's not here to fight.
Exactly. And then Robin tells him straight up, see, his whole plan was for this to happen so he could show them individually none of them are strong enough to do anything. But when they actually work together, they do some awesome stuff. And that's why he said he's never wrong. He's Robin, he's the son of the Batman, and this is the new Teen Titans. Whether you guys like it or not, you're now part of my team. I'm the leader.
Yep.
At which point, Beast Boy says no way. And they're fighting back. None of them are happy about this. They don't want it to happen.
Why
I need this is I don't have any friends.
Right. Sorry, go back just a little bit to dialogue. This is where I really like, too, and I guess they somehow met from different points of time. He tells this Robin, you're no Tim Drake. You're not our leader.
Exactly. Well, remember, Red Robin's been around, and he was the leader of the Titans for the New 52, I believe.
He was. Yep. And Beast Boy got on the team a little time after, I want to say, issue 9.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere after there.
So they're saying that, I don't care if your name is Robin or not, you're not the Robin that leads the Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So they go back and forth, and they talk about how, Damian admits that Tim Drake and him had their differences, but Tim was a great man. But over the years, the Titans, even under his control or his leadership, they became losers and criminals and a joke. Now, at what point were the Titans criminals?
I don't remember that. It might have been in New 52. I don't really remember them being actual criminals. I know they were always vigilantes and not supposed to be doing this stuff, but I don't remember them being real criminals.
Okay.
So.
Well, he's talking about how that team was everything that's wrong with the with this generation of young heroes, he says. They never deserved to be called a super team. But we could, you guys could do better if we work together. And he says, join me, I dare you. And then they all want to know, it's like, if you're trying to make friends, why would we join you? Then we find out, we go back, and he, I believe he's telling them this, that on the night of his 13th birthday, he did get one gift. And he found it sitting on his, he thought, okay, maybe this is actually from Father, from his, from Batman. He opens it up and looks, it's a dead bird and a letter.
Hmm.
And it's a letter from his grandfather.
Not just dead bird, a dead robin.
Yes. And it talks, and it, the basis of the letter reads, you're only alive to celebrate your birthday because I've allowed it. Come home. The time has come for you to fulfill your legacy or die. Then it flips back to Infinity Island, I guess is where Ra's al Ghul is now. And you see, he's talking to someone. He says how for years, whoever this is has studied under him at the Black Citadel. They're about to graduate, but there is still a final test. You are the Demon's Fist, and your hunt begins now. And it looks like almost a dark version of the Teen Titans.
Yeah,
and
I'm
next
doing
issue
some,
is hunted.
Googling for them. Yeah, I've never seen any of these characters before.
Looks like it's
but
a
yeah, they
dark
look like
Titans
evil
team.
Versions of Teen Titans. Yeah, so looking into that one.
And the next one,
yeah,
we have.
Yeah, I'm impressed with this.
Oh yeah, this was great. I like the new, the interesting dynamics of the new team.
And one thing that really made me like this book was I didn't hate Robin in this one. I mean, I never really hate Robin, but he's a little bit of a smirky, pricky kid, and I'm like, okay, tone your arrogance down. He had a plan. He said, "Look, you guys are better as a team, and you need a leader." Not too bad. I'm liking Damian better.
He is arrogant, and he is Damian Wayne, but. He has a point
him,
also.
Exactly. They made him a little bit more likable. I can't find this issue right now, so I'll come back to that in a little bit to figure out what that team was. So I was curious if they showed them previously in other books or they're brand new for the new rebirth.
Yeah.
But next on our list, we have Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, issue number 7. A lot of good things happen in this book.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we get Hal Jordan going back over his life when his father died to when he got the ring and for him to become Green Lantern, and him and Sinestro finally meet up. The showdown has happened. One of Sinestro's Aquilo told him, "I'll take him down. Don't worry, Sinestro, I got this." He grabs him by the throat and tells him they need to leave and evacuate all the Yellow Lanterns off this planet, and this is my command. He says yes, Sinestro, because he would kill him if he didn't listen to him. Next, you have the Green Lanterns team being led by John Stewart and Kilowog at this point. Now, back on Sinestro's plan, you have Hal Jordan and Sinestro going back and forth their dialogue about how they used to be apprenticed, a teacher, and now he's has his own ring, but you didn't want to follow me. You still wanted to be with the Guardians. And they start going at it even more. And there's a big ruckus in the city that starts destroying the buildings. And they're still going over how one thinks they're right, the other one thinks they are. But the thing with Sinestro is he tried to control everybody with fear, tried to become a king with fear. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Why did you change on me, Hal Jordan?" He said, "The same day you changed on us. You thought you were better than everybody." And now back, they have Guy Gardner tied up, naked, and being tortured.
Well, you got to see right now. I missed for a second. Did you actually mention that the rest of the Green Lantern Corps is still on their way to Warworld?
Oh, yes. They haven't got there yet. They're still trying to arrive. They are still trying to get everything together because they were stuck in another.
Somehow they got put into another dimension or something.
Yeah, they were gone for a while. They were not even on this. They weren't even in existence, I don't think.
Yeah, they were removed
from
the universe.
Mm-hmm. But they're back now, and they're still trying to get everything together with them. Now, who's this female character right here that's basically Sinestro's right-hand girl? What's her name?
That's Blue, Lydia Blue or, keep going, I'll find it.
Okay, she's been featuring about 3 books.
Lissa.
And I still like,
isn't it Lissa?
Lissa. Yeah, that's it. She's getting ready to, think she was getting to the point to kill Guy Gardner. If he can't take this torture, oh well, he'll stop talking, because all he's doing is repeating the oath over and over.
And he has all the other prisoners repeating the Green Lantern oath also.
And now it's just getting annoying to her. But as she's getting ready, I think, to put the final blow on him, or whichever she's doing right now, Sinestro's daughter comes in, and she knocks them out and frees Guy Gardner. He says, I'm glad somebody was listening to me. And she gives him his ring back, and they're ready to go on their way. Now back with Sinestro and Hal, they're still going at it, reminiscing over the time he was the Green Lantern and how he changed. And as they keep fighting, everything else happens with Guy releasing the prisoners. And in the last book also, there are a lot of Yellow Lanterns that do not want to be under Sinestro's control. They do not think he's a king. They don't think he's a ruler or anything. They just think he's a dictator trying to take over the world with his ego. And ruling it by fear is not the way to do so.
Huh. Sounds like they got to figure it out.
Yeah. Now, this is not all the Yellow Lanterns. Probably about a good 10-20% of his core, but still, that's enough to start some type of rebellion. And now Sinestro, I think, is going to get a little afraid of Hal Jordan. He's putting fear in Sinestro. Isn't this something? He's revealing that he is willpower, because from the rebirth issue, Hal Jordan made his ring. The Guardians did not give it to him. He found it out of pure will.
He forged it himself. Yes.
And he's beginning to now talk. You even see the dialogue bubbles. They're changing. They're going from a white to a green look and tone, showing how good his willpower is increasing. Sinestro doesn't know what the heck to do at this point. He tries to block it. And Lisa, what did you say her name was? I forget.
Lisa.
Lisa's trying to help Sinestro, but while doing so, it looks like his body's getting blown away, and same thing's going to happen to her, too. All the willpower from Hal Jordan is just exploding the planet right now.
And no more War World.
Nope. No. And the other Green Lantern Corps being led by John Stewart, it looks like the planet is gone, and they don't know where the heck Hal Jordan has went. And as the planet's being blown up, there's a bright yellow light coming toward the Green Lantern Corps, and they are getting their lanterns ready, their rings ready to fight. But turns out, it's all of the good Yellow Lanterns, along with Guy Gardner, saying, don't worry, we're the good guys. So the next issue is going to be titled Bottle of Light in issue number 8, and we'll see how the Green Lantern Corps accepts the Yellow Lantern Corps that are good. In my opinion, give them all Green Lantern rings and call it one big team.
Well, you let them be Yellow Lanterns, but the interesting thing is we've seen another death for Hal Jordan, but how long is this one going to last?
Now, we don't know if he's dead at all. They just blew up the world, but from his willpower, that might have all came out of him, and he may still be intact. Far as Sinestro and Lessa go, I don't know. They may be dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got one more that we wanted to review this week, and that's actually Batman Beyond number 1. Now, this is one of the ones I was looking forward to since Rebirth first started. The fact that Terry McGinnis back as Batman, the way it's supposed to be, and Dan Jurgens writing it. So, we get several decades from now, because it's in the Batman Beyond universe. And we have the leader of the Jokers still has Dana captured and is talking about how he's trying to bring back, and he has the body of the Joker. He's trying to reanimate the Joker. That's why they have Joker's Town and things like that. And he's just crazy. He wants to bring back Joker. Then next one we get Matt bringing blindfolding Dana or Max and bringing her down into the Batcave underneath Wayne Manor. So in this version, Max doesn't know where the Wayne Manor is or where the Batcave or anything else is. Obviously, I think she knows who Batman is, but that's it.
Yes, that's it.
That's the only secret she knows, is that Terry's Batman. So they're working on the computer trying to help Terry. And remember, Terry was just beaten down by that giant bruiser Joker and buried under a building.
He was filled up on Venom.
Yes, the Venom Joker. So Terry gets out a couple of bombs and blows up the rubble pile he's in, which lets him out finally. And so the fight continues between the Joker and Terry. They're fighting back and forth, And then, where is it? They're fighting, and Terry realizes what's fueling the Joker, and realizes that, and he takes out the Joker's backpack that's spiking him with venom. All of a sudden, just like Bane, he loses his power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's totally surrounded by the rest of the Jokers from Jokertown. that all want to kill the Bat.
I did want to add here, Batman was getting his butt kicked for a second. That's because, as he said, you can't just get out of bed and put on the Batman costume. You have to do training, and Terry has not trained for a while.
Yeah, he's not been Batman for a while, so he's not done the training. So he breaks out, gets away, barely with the skin off his back, and realizes that taking down Jokertown is not going to be just like breaking up a band of Jokers. This is going to take some work. He gets back to the cave and talks how Matt and Max were helping him out. And this is where he's saying that I treated it like it's just something I've been doing for years and I have no problem with it. But I need some work. I got to do something. And he said the problem with fighting a couple thousand Jokers is way beyond Batman. And then he walks off into the chamber so he can get changed. And Matt's talking about how, well, I can't believe my brother's not a quitter. Why did he quit? You heard him. He said Batman can't win. So then he's Terry walks out and says, I said Batman couldn't fight them. So he's then it flips to shit. Look at him. And he's dressed as one of the Jokers. So he's going undercover as a Joker into Jokertown.
And if you can't beat him, join him.
Exactly. And that's actually our last comic for this week.
I did find out that the team that looked like they were evil version of the Teen Titans, these are Ra's al Ghul's pupils for next generation of League of Assassins.
Okay.
And they are called the Demon's Fist.
Ah, cool. So, unless you got something else, I think we got one more thing we got to do today.
Yeah, I think we just need one more stop.
And as every week, it is our time for our trip to the comic shop brought to you by the Shazbots. Check them out on iTunes. Say hi on Facebook. Let them know that DC Superpower sent you. And this is actually our comic shop trip for November 9th, 2016. We're starting off this week. We have 12 titles to go through. And we're starting it off with Action Comics 967.
You want me to get this one?
I can do this one. You can take the evens. Sound good?
Okay. Yep.
We have the Action Comics 967, Men of Steel, Part 1. Lex Luthor is under attack, and only Superman can save him. When the world's most ingenious scientific mind took on the mantle of Metropolis' new Man of Steel, the world took notice, and so did the mysterious God Slayer. Art is done by Tyler Kirkham and written by Dan Jurgens.
And next on our list, we have All-Star Batman number 4, My Own Worst Enemy, Part 4. So close, yet so far from his goal, Batman must now wrangle Two-Face out of his own assassin-filled riverboat casino before it plunges over Niagara Falls to their deaths. The Dark Knight will have to go all in the most deadly gamble of his life if he intends to make it out alive. Art done by Danny Mickey, John Romita Jr., and written by Scott Snyder.
Now I'm wondering who they're going to bring in for this one, because they keep bringing in all these obscure, unknown characters, all the known characters. It's going to be interesting to see who they keep bringing in. You can tell this is Scott Snyder just having fun writing Batman.
I'm loving it. Like I said, a lot of these characters I didn't expect to see. Some of them were from the video game, from the cartoon, old comic book characters I didn't think they were going to even bring back. It's a Batman's fan's dream come true with this book.
Mm-hmm. Well, next up, we actually get to Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, number 4. Who is Oracle, part 5? Batgirl, Black Canary, and Huntress come face-to-face at last with the new Oracle, and unlock a mystery they never saw coming. The art by Rogue Antonio, and it's written by Shauna and Julie Benson.
And next on our list, we have Deathstroke, issue number 6. The Professional, part 6. Deathstroke's honor is put to the test when he must help a tyrannical Jaw Jinky, aka the Red Lion, stopped the civil war that he inadvertently caused, plus enter Jericho. So we're going to see his son in here as well.
So we get Jericho this one.
Yep, and are done by Jason Perez, Carlo Pelinguin, and written by Christopher Priest. So we got to see his daughter in the last two issues, and now we'll get to see his son. One big happy family just coming right around the circle.
Yep. Well, next up, we get Detective Comics 944. The Victim Syndicate Part 2. The mysterious first victim has launched an attack on Batman and his team, forcing them to fight an enemy they know nothing about, who seems to have the support of the entire network of strange new foes. Art done by Eber Ferreria and Eddie Burrows, and is written by James Tynion IV. Now, this one here also shows Batwing on the cover. So it looks like we get a new member of the team.
Yep, and they had Orphan in the background for that last one focused on. Now we have another one. Just keep building up the Batman family.
That's right.
Next on our list, we have The Flash issue number 10, The Speed of Darkness Part 1. A villain from The Flash history returns for the first time in years. The Shade visits Central City. But what does Opal City's Master of Shadows want with Barry Allen, the newly christened Kid Flash? Art done by Alucard Albert, Felipe Wannabe, and written by Joshua Williamson.
Okay. See, I didn't read much of Shade back in the day.
I didn't either. The only time I ever saw him was in the Justice League cartoon.
Okay.
I knew he was the old villain, but I was never able to really find any books with him in it.
Yeah. Well, the next one we have up on the list is Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 8. Bottled Light Part 1. The Green Lantern Corps may be back up and running, but how will they protect the universe with the Sinestro Corps as partners? Plus, what happened to Hal Jordan, and who can bring him back from beyond? Art by Ethan Van Sciver and written by Robert Venditti.
And next on our list, we have New Superman issue number 5. Oh, by the way, for Superman issue 5, at Comic-Con, my buddy Jack picked up all the issues up till now.
Awesome.
He needed to start somewhere, so he said might as well go with the New Superman. This is Made in China Part 5. The revelations keep coming. Kong Keenan has learned that disturbing truth of the Chinese freedom fighters, and his next move could make or break the entire country. Meanwhile, the noticeable insane human firecracker unleashes the might of the secret weapon. Two words. Starro Bomb. Ooh.
Sweet, we can see back. Starro.
Yes, oh, and that's always a nice little thing to know for a comic book. Richard Friend is the art done by, and Gene Loon Wang is done for the writing.
Okay. Next up, we get Red Hood and the Outlaws number 4, The Dark Trinity Part 4. The unimaginable has happened. Black Mask has gained control of one of the most powerful beings in the world, Bizarro. Can the Red Hood stop him before Black Mask's reign of terror begins? The art's done by Dexter Soy and written by Scott Lobdell.
And next on our list, we have Supergirl issue number 3, Reign of Cyborg Superman Part 3. At last, Supergirl returns to Argo City. But when Kara Zor-El arrives back to her childhood home, a grim discovery awaits. Courtesy of Cyborg Superman, Supergirl must battle for the fate of not one, but two worlds, as yet another face from her past returns to stop her. Oh boy. Art done by Brian Ching and written by Steve Orlando.
Okay, we got two books left that are coming. This one's Superwoman number 4. Who is Superwoman Part 4? Superwoman's illness is getting worse, and so are the plans of Ultrawoman. With the might of the Bizarro's army and LexCorp's technology at her fingertips, Ultrawoman is nearing victory, and Lex Luthor may be the first to fall. Meanwhile, Lana struggles to carry on the legacies of her fallen friends, and the ghosts of her past will come to haunt her. Art done by Ray McCarthy and Emanuela Lupacino, and it's written by Phil Jimenez.
All these issues are sounding pretty good. Mm-hmm. The last one for our list is Wonder Woman number 10. Now, description for this one's a little weird. I don't want to reveal too much, I think. Year 1, Part 5. The world is finally introduced to Wonder Woman, and arrives both ancient and new.
It's adversaries. Adversaries both ancient and new.
And also take note, this story is previously scheduled to appear in issue number 8. That was a little odd for me, I think.
Yeah.
They put that there. But art done by Nicola Scott and Greg Rucka. I know these books have been going back and forth. Like I said, one issue will take place in modern time. Next one will take place in the past. So I guess maybe that's why they put that there. So you'll know where you're caught up on.
Yeah, you know. Possibly.
But that was just a little bit weird description. But that's it for our list.
Yeah, that's all the books for this week in comic books. So we got another full week of books. Plus, next week coming out, we get Doom Patrol number 3 drops. You have Scooby-Doo Apocalypse. And we're actually getting the premiere of Mother Panic number 1 comes out next week. So this is the last of the first run of Young Animal.
And I also wanted to say, I found out that the first volume of Scooby-Doo Apocalypse ended at issue number 5. So last one was issue number 6. So, okay. They're doing pretty good. We're on our second volume right now of Scooby-Doo Apocalypse. And I hope it keeps doing really well.
Awesome. So I know this was a little bit of a shorter issue, guys. Next week we will come in back probably full on, almost 2 hours again. Maybe, I'm not sure where we're going to be because we're at Con of the Cob. It may be a totally different type of issue. I'm not sure.
But we're going to be live, so we're just going to have to roll with the punches we get on that one.
Exactly. We don't know who's going to be guest starring. We don't know anything, any of the details yet. But we will definitely still have your comic previews. We'll have the reviews of some of this week's books, probably. So it will still be your DC Superpowers podcast. Speaking of which, Vernon, how can everybody find us?
You can find us on our Instagram and our Facebook on DC Superpowers Podcast. And for our Twitter, you can find us at Superpowers DC. For my personal Instagram is Howlin' at Wolf, where you can find a whole bunch of pictures from the recent Comic-Con I went to. And also on our Instagram, you can find me on Facebook, Vernon McWayne Moore, and on Twitter, Viella.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm Ken Rose. You can also find the show at... as part of the Tangibound and the Weeby Geeks networks at tangiboundnetwork.com and weebygeekspc.com. You can also, if, did we miss something this week in comic books? Did we, is there something that we said that spurred something in your mind you want to tell us? Well, you can get a hold of us anytime at dcsuperpowerspodcast@gmail.com. We're also a proud member of the GeekWatch One family of podcasts. And from there, I think that's about all we got, isn't it?
Yes. I do want to make a shout out. The first picture I took at Comic-Con, they told me to give me their business card and see what I can do from there for you guys. Rubber City Cosplay, you guys did great. Great Penguin, great Black Mask. All your cosplay costumes are amazing, and I just want to say thank you.
Oh yeah, those guys are awesome. They help us with Odd Mall a lot of times too. So, I love the kids over. Rubber City Cosplay, and they got some great costumes.
They do. They look like they're ripped straight out of the book.
Mm-hmm. So, Vernon, for you and for me, and to tell everybody else, we'll see you next week.